Our scripture this morning comes from the book of John. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. And there they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, and he kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me."
The lectionary text has taken us this week to somewhere where we were not connected last week, just so you know. Last week, you'll remember, we were in Luke, we had the story of the prodigal son. This week, we're in John, but it's still along the timeline because Jesus is still heading for Jerusalem, and he's getting closer and closer. Bethany is only a few miles outside of Jerusalem. Prior to this text, John chapter 12, in chapter 11, Jesus was in Bethany, and that's where he raised Lazarus, his good friend, from the dead. So that gives you a little... That makes sense, right? We're following the lectionary, the biblical text. We have jumped into John. So here it is, 6 days before Passover, which would make... So next Sunday is Palm Sunday. In the text, tomorrow is Palm Sunday, when Jesus will enter into Jerusalem and the Holy Week events will take place. It's coming fast and furious now. Jesus is spending some time with his good friends, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. They have provided him with a meal. They've invited the disciples. I find it very hard to believe that it would be just Jesus and Judas. I can't say names today. So anyway, the disciples are invited to dinner at Mary and Martha's and Lazarus' house outside of Jerusalem. While they're there, Martha is serving. We remember that about Martha. Martha, of the two sisters. Do you know what I'm talking about? There was another dinner. Mary and Martha were there. A bunch of other people were there. Lazarus was there. Jesus was there. Martha was preparing all the food, getting everything ready. But Mary, sitting on the floor in front of Jesus, listening to his teachings. And Martha, "You know, Mary, I could really use a little help right now." But Mary's busy listening. So that's the story there. Martha is the one who's doing all the serving. Mary is fully engaged in following Jesus. I think we could definitely call her the 13th disciple. Probably the first disciple, actually. So anyway, there they are. Suddenly Mary gets up, she goes inside, and she comes back with an alabaster box with ointment, nard from India. Very, very expensive. The box that she has, about 12 ounces. The Bible says a pound, but the commentaries say 12 ounces. I don't know what the difference is between a pound. I mean, 4 ounces. Yeah, thank you. Anyway, but I don't know why the commentaries are saying 12. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Anyway, so she's got this expensive box of this expensive ointment, and she brings it out. She breaks open the box and pours this oil over Jesus' feet. And then takes off her head covering and starts wiping the oil away from his feet. Judas sees this, and all he sees is dollar signs. Do you know how many people we could have fed with that money? Because the cost of that ointment would have been about a year's wages for a day worker. I like perfume, but I'm not spending a whole year's wages on perfume, right? So here he is, and he says, "You know, all that money, we could easily have fed the poor, done something a little more meaningful than whatever it is you're doing down there, you know? But she remains silent and she's focused on what she's doing, which is very important. And Jesus supports her in that and says that she is anointing me for my burial. Mary has a very clear view. She knows what's going on more than any of the male disciples do here, it seems to me, and the commentaries. I was reading one commentary, Diana Butler Bass. Have you ever heard of her? You know her, Diana Butler Bass? So she was saying that there's one scholar who has written a book called Mary Magdalene in the Gospel of John. She proposes that there is no Martha. She proposes that Martha was created to kind of diminish the authority of Mary, right? The power that Mary has in this story. So she proposes, and she also proposes that Lazarus' sister Mary is Mary Magdalene. So all those stories about Mary Magdalene, imagine that this is her. She's the one who's always there at the cross, right? She's always there. And here she starts. Last chapter, I'm trying not to say last week, last chapter in John, right? When Lazarus was raised from the dead, Jesus turns to, this is confusing. He turns to Martha and says, "Who do you say I am?" And she is the first to proclaim, "You are the Messiah who we've been waiting for. You're the right." But according to this scholar, her name, just put this in there for the public record, Elizabeth Schrader. You ever heard of her? Elizabeth Schrader, Mary Magdalene in John's Gospel. She says, so it wouldn't have been Martha who said that, it would have been Mary Magdalene, Lazarus' sister. So she would be the first one to recognize Jesus as the Messiah. So it would make sense that this week, she sees he's the Messiah, she knows he's the Messiah, so she will anoint him, right? She takes on this priestly role to anoint Jesus as the Messiah. Like I said, this is one of those stories that appears in all four of the Gospels, but I don't want to diminish it by combining them all into one. And they're all somewhat different. Matthew and Mark, very similar, as we know from the disciple group. Matthew drew on Mark and maybe another source. So they're very, very similar and aligned. They have this event happening like a day before Passover and at an unnamed woman who comes in and does this. The anointing. Luke has it happen very early in the ministry, and it's when he says it's a sinful woman who comes in, right? So that's where that whole Mary Magdalene as a prostitute thing comes in, right? It's all about diminishing the power of these women. So if we imagine that it's Mary Magdalene, we don't have to imagine. If we believe what Schrader says, Mary Magdalene is Lazarus' sister. She makes this pronouncement that Jesus is the Messiah. She's the first to make that announcement. This week, she does what she feels she needs to do by anointing him. In Luke, the person, the woman who anoints Jesus in that story, pours the oil on his head. That is the ancient tradition to anoint a king in Israel, right? Nathan and Saul and David and right on through the line. The king is anointed by the prophet with oil over his head. Here, Mary is at his feet, and she pours this oil on his feet. We know from foot washings, right? You've probably been to foot washing ceremonies before from Maundy Thursday, and you probably learned that the washing of feet was the task that was assigned to the lowest servant in the house. So for Mary to kneel to anoint Jesus' feet instead of on his head, she is showing a whole different view of Jesus' idea, God's idea of what the kingdom should be, right? This is a complete opposite of Rome and the empire. And it will continue next week, right? Because we'll see this, I don't want to give it away, but you probably all know, when Jesus comes in through one gate in the city on the donkey with the palms, on the other side of town, Pilate is coming in with chariots and horses and soldiers. It's a complete opposite. It's not opposite. What's that? Dichotomy. Thank you. That's the word I want. The dichotomy, complete dichotomy of the two. So that's what's happening here, right? She's preparing Jesus for this kingly entrance, but it's a different kind of kingdom. And we'll see a lot of that during Holy Week too, when Jesus talks about different kinds of things. Where is your kingdom? It's not of this world, right? It's of this world, but it's different than anything Pilate can understand. The thing that strikes me about Mary is she knows what's coming and she doesn't care. Maybe not doesn't care, but she doesn't heed any kind of criticism. She knows what's going on. Jesus is bringing about this new work, this new idea of how the kingdom should be, this beloved community. She buys this expensive oil. She anoints his feet with them. And then when she receives criticism on the side, she continues to do what she's doing. She knows where she's going. She knows where Jesus is going. And she knows what's happening. This is the message of the gospel. God is with those who are suffering on the margins. So where are we today? When we go out in the world, are we Judas, who says, that's a lot of money you spent on that, could feed a lot of people, build a lot of houses, do a lot of good things for the poor? Or are we deeper into it? Do we understand it on this deeper level that Mary understands, that it's more than just feed, and I don't say just to diminish. It's not only feeding those people, but it's changing the whole mentality of the world to be focused on compassion and love for all of those we see out there, whether we think they deserve it or not. So I challenge you, as you go out there, as you prepare for Palm Sunday and Easter, this is a new world that Jesus brought to us with this whole resurrection thing. And how are we taking it inside of ourselves and bringing it back into the world? How are we witnessing to what this new thing that God has brought to us? Amen.